Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind right here with us on the early line, Sirius XM channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. And my goodness, the hot topics are going to flow today. And over the next 3 hours, we are going to hit every single topic you need to know to get the stage set for tonight's Major League Baseball action, this week's NCAA card, this week's NFL card. You got WNBA action, a little bit of golf mixed in. It's how we do it. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Dubs Anderson. We are ready to go. Dubsy, the energy, never been better for today. It's never been better.
We are not lacking on that side of things, Donnie. No. Happy hump day. Let's get after a little playoff baseball in the mix. Starting to heat up. Cannot wait for a little Thursday night football. We have plays on top of plays. This is my favorite couple of hours, at least a Wednesday's morning anyway there, Donnie. But happy to see you, my guy. Let's get after it.
Yeah, let's do it here. Because yesterday, by the way, we are going to get to a lot of football topics, but typically, obviously, the NFL is playing Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, but Tuesdays have been absolutely bonkers in the NFL, and we got a lot of hot topics to get to. But before we get there, Major League Baseball, the LCS, taking place in New York City yesterday. That's the Yankees 6, the Guardians 3. Aaron Judge, finally on the board, a couple RBIs, which included a 2-run home run in the 7th inning. The New York Yankees, Dubsy, 2-0 series lead over those Cleveland Guardians.
All rise for Aaron Judge. It was only a matter of time before the big fella decided to show his face, and what a performance this was. This could be the spark that catapults the Pinstripes into the World Series. They're now leading 2-0. That was a fantastic showing to get that win, 6-3, and they really controlled it from the jump. The Guardians were playing catch-up baseball as soon as we got out of that first inning, but for Aaron Judge, certainly needed off such a strong regular season. We just haven't seen that form come in to October, but absolutely found it in spades there last night. So a big win for the Pinstripes, and that may be just the deciding factor as they try and go 3-up on Thursday.
Guardians did get 3 runs yesterday, stranded 11 runners, which included 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Not going to win very many baseball games doing that against any competition, let alone the New York Yankees. Game 2 in the books. The Yankees take a commanding series lead as that series is going to shift back to Cleveland. But as we talked about, the NFL was absolutely no action on the field. Tons of action, Dubsy, off the field. The Bills land superstar wide receiver Amari Cooper from the Browns. The Browns out of it. The Bills looking to ramp up. I love this move to the Buffalo Bills for Amari Cooper.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, poor Jerry Jeudy. He's probably sitting around like, hey, does anyone want me? Do I have to stay here and play with Deshaun Watson? But what a move this is for the Buffalo Bills, sitting at 4-2 through the first 6 weeks of the regular season. They really haven't had that standout wide receiver, but they have a standout superstar in Josh Allen at quarterback. And now you give him, I would say, arguably Stephon Diggs 2.0. He's durable, he's bankable, and he's still got plenty of speed to burn at 30 years of age. So I'm right there with you, Donnie. I think this is an absolute fantastic pickup for the Bills, who are putting together a really strong season.
It was a great counter move, too, because you saw Devontae Adams earlier in the day move over to the New York Jets, and I kept saying to myself, Dubsy, boy, this would have been the perfect fit. Devontae Adams over to the Bills. The Bills really need that number one wide receiver. They got that number one wide receiver. Shakir comes back healthy here. You got a good young wide receiver in Keon Coleman, a couple solid tight ends. The running game is there. Josh Allen. Now I'm looking at the Buffalo Bills, much more advantageous for the rest of the season for me than we were just 24 hours ago. Love to see it out here. Let's keep moving and get through those hot topics in the NFL, which includes the Steelers, saying Mike Tomlin is going to now consider Russell Wilson starting in the next game, which means Justin Fields, no knock on him. He was asked to win football games. He did that, Dubsy, but it looks like now Mike Tomlin has told you all along the goal was Russell Wilson to be my starting quarterback. It looks like it might happen this weekend.
Tomlin says that was the goal from day one, Donnie, but he will not confirm that Russell Wilson will be that starter going in to week 7. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, they've had a really good start to their campaign. 4-2 with Justin Fields at quarterback. He's been efficient. He's got the interceptions out of his game. Really hasn't been getting it downfield there. But you look at the completion percentages, really strong quarterback showing. So to bring Russell Wilson back into the mix here at 35 years of age, what are you really getting? But I think that's why they will need to get him back in the mix, just to see what they're really working with. Both players just in the building for a year. If they're looking at long term, they need to find out what version of Russell Wilson they really have.
Exactly. It's not a knock on Justin Fields. As a backup quarterback, which technically he was coming into the season, your goal was to make sure you're putting your team in the best chances to win. He has absolutely done that, but the passing game has been lacking. Maybe Russell Wilson can provide that spark, but also keep in mind, Dubsy, as we'll talk about later, Justin Fields still has a fit with this football team in short yardage situations. He can be an asset there. I like where the Steelers are going. May the best man win the job, but also the Pittsburgh Steelers looking for bigger things, like, hey, how about a first playoff win in roughly a decade at this point? We'll see if they get that. Other quarterbacking news from a quarterback that has retired and is calling football games. The owners finally approved Tom Brady's bid to buy a minority stake in the Raiders. He is officially now an owner in the NFL.
Yeah, just I believe the third player in history to now become an owner. That ownership group taking up a 10% stake of the Las Vegas Raiders. And it's a great showing for the sport itself. You've got one of the greats who's absolutely buying in to the future. And by all reports, Donnie getting a pretty good deal there as well. So exciting stuff there for Tom Brady and the Raiders moving forward. And also picks up a little stake in the WNBA team with the Aces there. So Tom Brady, he's up at the booth. He's calling games. He's now making billions of dollars out there on the gridiron despite not suiting up on a Sunday.
It's a great investment because just like NFL with the stock, it just continues to go higher and higher. So him investing, I'm sure the NFL likes that, a high-profile player, similar to what's going to probably happen with LeBron James in the NBA. Always good for one of the faces of the league to actually own a piece of a team in that league. But it does bring restrictions, which we'll talk to a little bit later, about what he can actually do in the booth now, Dubsy. So intrigue all the way through. Let's flip it over. Running back Cam Akers returned to the Vikings after a trade with the Texans. Mixon returned to that lineup as the starting running back for the Texans, made Akers expendable. The Minnesota Vikings saw a need and grabbed it. I think this is a solid deal, Dubsy, for both teams here.
Yeah, Cam Akers has shown plenty of promise there. I feel like it's deja vu. We're turning back 12 months, but Cam Akers, we saw it for what he did going with the Rams a couple of years ago. We've seen it this season. So getting back into a building and a scheme that he's very familiar with. Cam Akers has always been a very solid piece there. Really doesn't have that explosive X factor, but he's bankable, and that's going to be some great coverage, some great insurance for an Aaron Jones who's been playing a little banged up. Gets him a bit more insurance of trying to get back up to speed and get that full health. So I like this move. Cam Akers, certainly underrated, but plenty of promise on a Sunday.
Yeah, not a bad move there. Certainly not a bad move. If you do have an injury to your starting tailback, getting some of those backup guys to sort of stem that tide before your starter comes back, and specifically on a team that maybe has Super Bowl aspirations with the Minnesota Vikings that we didn't think of before. How about the Los Angeles Dodgers? They're tied up in their series 1-1 going up against the New York Metropolitan Shohei Ohtani. Looks like they're going to stick with him in the leadoff spot. It's always interesting to say, yes, you want as many at-bats as you can get out of Ohtani, but if Ohtani is not driving in runs, maybe he could be better in that 3-4-5 hole. What do you think about Ohtani staying in that leadoff role here, Dubsy?
Look at the numbers. 0-for-19 with bases empty, 6-for-8 with runners all batting leadoff going through the postseason. But I like Dave Roberts. I like that he's sticking to the game plan here. Let's not start mixing things up. The data suggests that maybe you should push Ohtani, but for me, he is still that guy to lead the Dodgers and get him off to that fast start. Don't write him off. Ohtani, stay put. We've got other issues, and it's not where Ohtani's fitting in with this lineup right now, Donnie.
England likes to scream out here, Dubsy. It's coming home, which means maybe a World Championship or World Cup coming back to England. They have their new manager, Thomas Tuchel, the new boss here. Do we have any vibes here for the – what are they, the three Lions? What are they called? Seven Lions, three Lions, whatever the Lions are over there.
I think the vibes are high there. Right? We've seen Thomas Tuchel, what he did with Chelsea back in 2021, enough to surpass Man City, led by Pep Guardiola. So I think this is a great – addition to lead the English side that's really underwhelmed and struggled over the last, I would say, you know, decade at the majors. But they've got some really good young pieces, and Thomas Tuchel knows how to get it done on the biggest of stages. We've seen it over there with PSG. We've seen it in the English Premier League, and we'll now lead that national team for England.
Yeah, new national team guy for the Team USA here. They got beat up by Mexico 2-0. So Pochettino, maybe can fire him and hire Tuchel if it doesn't work out here. We have so many hot topics to hit people. Keep the dial right here. Subsy and Donnie on a Wednesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Hour number one in full effect of the early line. On a Wednesday morning, he's Dubs Anderson. I'm Donnie Wrightside. And yesterday in the Bronx Bombers 6, the Cleveland Guardians 3. The series now sits at 2-0. How did we get here? Obviously a game one victory for the New York Yankees. But game number two for me was very interesting. At a low total, Dubsy, around that 7 range, because you had two good pitchers that were on the mound. Now, playoff baseball, so much different, Dubsy, than regular season action. Bybee goes 1 3 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 total runs, and only 2 strikeouts, and they immediately went to their closer in the second inning, because there is no tomorrow if you're losing games to go down 0-2. Now, granted, do they have a chance to come back in the series? Yes, they do, but it just shows you those leverage situations. You don't just let your pitcher work through it and say, I need 5, 6, or 7 innings to save my bullpen. You can't do that anymore. And on the opposite side, Gerrit Cole, the ace for the New York Yankees. 4 1/3 innings pitch, 6 runs, 2 earned, 4 walks, 4 Ks in 89 pitches. He wasn't even that good. And quite frankly, Dubsy, if you told me Cole doesn't even get into the 6th inning, probably would think the Guardians win that game. They didn't. The Yankee bats showed up, which includes Aaron Judge, who's been MIA this entire playoff run. 3 RBI performance for him last night. The Yankees pick up a massive game 2 win.
Let's go. The Pinstripes now leading the series 2-0, and it all was about Aaron Judge. All rise for the big fella. That was the first home run of the postseason. I know he highlighted before going to break, but really just hasn't found that spark. So maybe this is what Aaron Judge needs, just to find a bit of confidence to go through the rest of this series and squaring off against Cleveland. And Donnie, you said you've got to play like there's no tomorrow, but there is a game 3 coming up on Thursday back in Cleveland. And when you see the amount of arms that they went through, the resources that they had to use up in a taxing outing last night, and still to come up short there, getting bested 6-3, wasn't a great spot for the Guardians on Tuesday night. And suddenly they are right up against it. So for the Yankees going into that game, heavily favored, minus 170, minus 175, there or thereabouts. This was a commanding victory. They got off to a flyer of a start for the Guardians. They just couldn't get back in to this one. So the overs, cashes, the Yankees, they get the big score. Now we turn it to Thursday night there. But for the Pinstripes, Donnie, I mean, they go as far as their superstars go, the likes of Stanton, Juan Soto, and for Aaron Judge, they absolutely need the big fella. They need him to get through this series, and they're going to need him if they're going to make a bit of a tilt there at the World Series, at the World Series as well. So great to see the big fella find a bit of form again.
Yeah, by the way, the middle of the lineup for the Yankees, Dub, struggled last night. Wells 0-4, Stan 0-4, Chisholm 1-4. But you take a look at the bottom of the lineup, which is so key to set the table for the top. You had 2 base knocks for Volpe, 2 base knocks for Rizzo, a base knock and an RBI for Verdugo. Then you flip it over and look at Gleyber Torres at the top of that lineup setting the table. 3-5 last night, that scored 2 runs. Soto chipped in with a base hit, and then Judge with the home run and the 3 RBI. If you can get Aaron Judge going, which means Torres is hitting 292 in the playoffs, 350 for Soto. Judge came in at what, like basically a .125 last night, improved, to say the least, to 167. If those guys are running strong, and Giancarlo Stanton, who did have an off night at 0 for 4, but still hitting over 300 in the playoffs, this is what you waited for the Yankees, because if you can get that machine rolling where Judge turns back into his MVP form that we saw for most of the season, watch out for the Yankees, but also the bigger pictures that we'll get to, the pressure that's on the New York Yankees. Boy, is it nice, Dubsy, to take the two first games at home before you even go back to Cleveland and really start to turn the screws. I'm impressed by what I'm seeing from the Yankees, because so many times we see it, Dubs, heavy favorites like the Yankees struggle over the first two games, the pressure starts to mount. They get out to a 2-0 series lead. That is huge for their psychology.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you pay the big bucks. It's time for the superstars to step up and deliver. Nobody plays with more expectation, including the Dodgers, than the Yankees. It is their season to lose. It is a window that is only open for so long. Who knows, Juan Soto, where he's going to be as we head into the offseason there. So for the Yankees, playing with a lot of hype, a lot of buzz in New York, in their building, they get the victory. Now leading this series 2-0, and it gets a lot tougher for the Guardians. At least they get to take it back to Cleveland for the next three. But again, went through a lot of resources in trying to come up empty-handed there for game two last night. So they are really playing catch-up baseball. And for a team like the Yankees, I mean, it feels weird in trying to say that if they get confidence, they're going to be very tough to take down. But it's absolutely spot on, Donnie. For these young guys, they're going to rally in the clubhouse. And this is exactly what they needed to get off to a flyer start. And maybe they try and finish this thing up on the road. It's not going to be as easy going back into Cleveland, but they got to love the fact that now they've got that that luxury of playing with a bit of house money. It just takes a bit of pressure off some of the younger shoulders trying to get it done.
It does. It is hard to hit the baseball in the playoffs. Why? You're going against elite starting pitching, and if that elite starting pitching isn't performing well, they get the quick hook, and you go right to a bullpen, which meaning the why you went to the playoffs is probably you had a strong bullpen. Look at the Cleveland Guardians hitting. Stephen Kwan, one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball. Playoff run, .448. As a leadoff guy, that is absolutely tremendous. But look at the next couple batters in that lineup. 167, 167, 214, 280, 100, 174, 0, 250, 0. If you're not getting guys on base, it's hard to drive them in. But yesterday, that really wasn't the case, Dubsy. You take a look at Gerrit Cole, who I think is one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball. We always expect him to have a clean start, 6, 7, maybe 8 innings, giving up 2 earned runs or less. You could have got to him yesterday. And the only fault that lies at the feet of the Guardians is with their batters. Look at yesterday, 11 runners left on base, 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. They had their chances, Dubsy. They just couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, hats off. Bullpen was strong there as well to really support the Yankees late in that one. So for the Guardians, they had their chances, and you've got to make the most of all of these opportunities. Otherwise, you will go missing. And if you go down 3-0, I mean, you look at the chances, you look at the historical data, it is really tough in trying to get back in to this series. So everything is on the line coming up Thursday. And for the Yankees, they know that. They know the Guardians are going to get back into their building. They're going to come ready to play some fantastic baseball. But I like this spot for New York. Surprise there for Cole. Didn't stay out there past the fourth. But the bullpen stepped up, delivered. They're going to have to bank on them moving through, I guess, the next week or so if they want to get the job done.
Yeah, we'll see what happens the rest of the way. But the one thing that we do know is the New York Yankees were the favorites to win the pennant coming into the playoffs here. And now you're taking a look at a more decided advantage because they have the 2-0 series lead. We'll see if the Cleveland Guardians can fight back. But the one thing we want to do is let's recenter and reimagine the series. Is there any opportunities to take the Guardians, or will it be all New York Yankees? It's Dubsy and Donnie. It's the early line, and we will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The ALCS. Can the Cleveland Guardians come back, Dubsy? And if you are a betting man, which I know you are, there are odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook that will say if you are a Guardians backer, boy, now's the time to jump in to win this series. How about the money lines? The Yankees at a minus 850 price with the 2-0 series lead. If you feel the Guardians can come back here, now switching back to Cleveland and some home field advantage for them, that's a 6-1 price. Let's start there, Dubsy. Looking at the first two games, the Yankees won. 2-3-2 series, which means two games at Yankee Stadium, three games in Cleveland, two games back if they need it in the Bronx. Is there a price point that you're looking forward to? Because, again, we don't like to take -850 prices, but if you feel they're going to win the series, that's money you can certainly gain. But if you feel the Guardians, as an underdog, can make this series closer, 6-1's a pretty good price.
Yeah, I mean, I like the value. I like the price there, Donnie, but what would have to go in favor for the Guardians to not just get back into this series, but to win this series, have the next three back in their building over their Progressive Field? I think they've got a really good chance of picking up one, maybe two, but I do not think they're going to pick up three. I just do not think they've got the starting arms to keep down such a hot offense from the Yankees. And we highlighted before the break there, the Yankees are playing with a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum. If Aaron Judge, the beast of Aaron Judge, has just woken up, watch out. It is going to get late very early in this series. So for me, I like the Guardians to pick up two games remaining, but it's not going to be enough here in trying to square up this series. I think the Yankees will hold that advantage going through Progressive Field and take it back over to New York, where they do ultimately close out the series. So I'd be looking towards exacta total. How many games will it take to get this thing done? But I do think the Yankees shouldn't have a problem in trying to get it all wrapped up, Donnie. It's just a matter of how far. How far can the Guardians go and make this thing exciting?
Yeah, it will matter. And also, the worst-case scenario for the Yankees is they still get to play at least one game in the Bronx because they won the first two games. If they lose the next three, at least you're going home to Yankee Stadium. Obviously, that's not the goal for the Yankees. They would actually like to not play another game at Yankee Stadium, which means they advance to the World Series. But the Yankees win the first two games. Let's just say if they split those first two games, a little bit more pressure on the Yankees, because I understand it would be hard for Cleveland to win three straight games. But theoretically, if you just took care of home field advantage for the Guardians, they would win the series and move on. If we look at the games total there, 5.5 games as we look at it, it's just to put that in its simplest form, that means the Guardians have to win two games here. I'm not so sure they can do that because you're taking a look at their pitching staff and it's really just a bullpen by bullpen performance. The Yankees have more frontline starting pitching to go back and can certainly match them in the pen. So if we look at the games here, Dubsy, do we see six games, which means we're headed back to the Bronx, or do you figure the Yankees pick up two out of three games here and move on to the World Series in Cleveland?
I think it's going to be that close, Donnie, and especially leaning on the bullpen so much. It's really tough in trying to have a big separation there, especially with the margin. So I think the Guardians could pick up two of the next three, and we do take it back to the Bronx. So I'd be looking towards the overs in terms of game total. You highlighted the starting arms we can sort of expect to see there. They really don't have those standouts. But I just think when it's expected to be so close, the odds makers are telling us everything we need to know. I think the Guardians can pick up two of the next three in their building, and that's it. That's as far as the story goes. We get back to New York, the Yankees close it out, and that is the end. Move on, survive, advance, back to the World Series. First time since 2009 for the Pinstripes.
I think they get there. And also the spread here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Yankees -1.5. And how about this price, Dubsy? A -390. So heavily favored to win this series. I do think they win it. The Guardians price at 6-1. It is appealing. If they can win game number three, maybe you can start to put a little vice grip on the Yankees and get them to struggle. But I just don't know if that's going to happen. But if we are looking in the MVP markets for the ALCS, rightfully so, the Yankees with a two-game lead, the Yankees will be at the top of the leaderboard here. Soto +250. Judge +320. Some people say, Dubsy, those are the exact odds that we'll get in the MVP markets for Major League Baseball's American League next year. What do you think about this?
it's going to be the big fella again. Aaron Judge, he's waking up. You're getting a good little number, and that market tells us there's a lot of parity. The guys and girls in the restroom, they haven't decided who's going to be the one to catch, but I do think there's going to be a bit of extra juice, a bit of extra sauce towards the superstars going through the rest of October. I'll be looking towards the Yankees. I just don't see how the Guardians can survive through this series and punch their ticket. So look towards the boys coming out of New York. Juan Soto as the shortest price, but all rise for Aaron Judge +320 ALCS MVP. That's not a bad number, Donnie. I like that. We're going to see more of what we did yesterday.
Way. Absolutely. If you are looking at Cleveland to win this series, you know, Ramirez, a +750 price, Naylor, 12-1. You got some monster prices out there. Good luck to whoever you wager on. But let's get after the next NFL topics. Boy, oh boy, let's review what happened on a Tuesday right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a done deal, people. Now, I'm actually going to age myself a bit right here, maybe Dubsy also. In the 1990s, when you heard the name Devontae, it was Devontae Swing of Jodeci, a massive R&B group, great singers all the way through. But now we hear Devontae in New York City. It's Devontae Adams. Let's start here, Dubsy. He makes the move from Vegas over to the New York Jets. When the news dropped, what was your initial thought?
Why? I get it for the Jets. I get it for Devontae Adams. He wants to rekindle that spark, that old romance with one of the best quarterbacks in the business there in Aaron Rodgers. But obviously, I'm a little salty, Donnie. You know, this has been coming for a minute. Robert Saleh, I don't like the way in which that exit all came about. And, you know, you've got the student who's leading the class and gets more and more power. And for the rest of the players in this locker room, I guess I'd share their sentiment, be like, are we not good enough? You know, young Garrett Wilson saying, I thought I was going to be this guy to take us back into the promised land. But look, it's only a positive if you're a Jets fan for the Jets offense. You bring in a wide receiver like Devontae Adams, who's still got, I mean, some fantastic football to be played there. I don't think he's getting any quicker. You know, he is 31 years of age, teaming up with a quarterback at 41 years of age. But it only helps the Jets, and we know that mentality. Every chip that we can get our hands on, our mitts on, we are sending it full force onto the table. So interested to see. Apparently the hamstring is feeling fantastic again. So there's a good chance that we see him out there for week 7.
It's amazing when you heal up, when you actually get to a place you want to be. Boy, that body starts to feel really good here. But if we are, Dubsy, we took a look at Devontae Adams over his career. Almost 11,000 receiving yards, close to 100 touchdowns, a 6-time Pro Bowler, and a 3-time first-team All-Pro. Now, when we look at the trade itself, sometimes it never equals out. Devontae is one of the best wideouts in football. We know that. Why couldn't you get 2 first-round picks? Because the money makes sense. You got to make everything fit. The Raiders got what they could. They're not winning anything this year. Devontae Adams isn't happy, had to make a move, and maybe you put him in the spot that he wanted to be, so it makes it a little bit easier to trade. But let's look outside of that here. What does Devontae Adams bring to the New York Jets? Because for me, Dubsy, I didn't watch the first, let's just say, 6 games of the season with the Jets and say, man, they really need a wide receiver. Garrett Wilson is very good. Alan Lazard is comparable. You paid Mike Williams $10 million for one single season to come in and work into that, you know, second to third wide receiver slot. You take a look at the tight end positions. It's okay with Conklin and a couple backups here. You have 2 really good running backs and Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and you tried to rebuild that offensive line. So for me, it wasn't about get a new wide receiver. It's like, hey, you need to protect Aaron Rodgers. How about you get Hassan Reddick into camp here or into the season to try to become a dominant force on that defensive line to help you? I never watched the Jets this season and said they needed a one. Now, also on the opposite end of the spectrum, your team is always going to get better when you have Devontae Adams. He's a great wide receiver, but Dubsy, for me, I didn't think this is what the Jets needed. And also, I said to myself on Monday night watching that game as it played out, like, if the Jets lose this game, they probably won't trade for Devontae, only to trade for Devontae with over the next 12 hours.
Yeah, and I mean, 2 wins, we're getting set for week 7. It's not like there's going to be a lot of time to try and figure things out, especially if Devontae Adams is not ready to suit up and go against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at the schedule, the next 3 of the next 4 games are going to be on the road. So for the Jets, if they were to drop, I'd say 2 of the next 4, that is the season well and truly over. And what is going to be that time frame for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams? Are we really looking ahead to year 2? I think it's a matter of saying, well, you know, Aaron, we got rid of Robert Saleh for you. What's next? Well, like a spoiled little kid, like a spoiled little brat saying, I'd like another great wide receiver. My pal Devontae Adams, he sounds like he'd like to come across. He's not so happy in Sin City. What about him? Yes, Aaron, we can make that happen. Here's Devontae Adams, another a feather in the cap, if you will. For me, I don't like it. I don't like the vibes that are expected here in the locker room moving forward. And I think, you know, it'd be right for us to expect that the chemistry is not going to be what it once was. Devontae Adams is still a top 15, you know, top 15 in the league. I don't think he's a top 5, top 10 wide receiver in the National Football League anymore. I don't think he's got that first step. I think he's only going to get a little slower at this point in his career. So I think I'd still have hesitations to how quickly that these two can really figure things out. But yeah, for me, I was watching Monday Night Football, Donnie, and that was not a standout saying we need another wide receiver. The offense has looked okay. Defense has looked strong. But you look at the two wins, it was against what? The Tennessee Titans and the Patriots, arguably two of the worst teams in the NFL.
Jerry Jones, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, the reason I bring him up here is because he said the Dallas Cowboys in the offseason were all in. They're not all in. They didn't go all in. The New York Jets, Dubsy, they are absolutely all in on 2024 and 2025. But you're right about it. If we take a look at the Jets season as a whole, the new updated win total, 7.5 games to make the playoffs now, no longer a favorite. They're a dog at a plus 136 price to win the AFC East. That is a juicy number at plus 550. The AFC title, 17-1, and the Super Bowl, which drops to 30-1. So they are going to make moves in the odds market, specifically at the FanDuel Sportsbook, when you get a player like Davante Adams. But if we remove the 49ers game, which they were simply outclassed on the road opening night, you beat a bad Titans team. It was on the road. You beat a bad Patriots team here. If you had a field goal kicker that could make kicks, Dubsy, you beat the Broncos and you beat the Bills. And if you didn't have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback versus the Vikings, you probably beat them too. They're just not getting home in the win column, but we see the talent that is there. And as you pointed out, at the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday Night Football, that's going to be a tough game. Who knows if Justin Fields shows up? Who knows if it's Russell Wilson? After that, at the Patriots, should be a victory. But then you're going to take on the Texans and an upstart Cardinals team. Maybe the Colts will be healthy by the time you play them. The Seahawks after that. The Miami Dolphins, hopefully with Tua Tagovailoa back. Sometimes we look and say what Bill Parcells made famous, Dubsy. You are what your record says you are. So if we're looking at some of those numbers from the FanDuel Sportsbook, what is your outlook on the New York Jets?
If you're bullish on the Jets, and you know I'm still a little cautious here, I think it's that win total at 7.5. If they can really find a bit of momentum, rattle off a couple of wins, you know, going on the road there, 3 of the next 4, if they go 500 through those, the rest of the schedule could be pretty favorable at the back end. You know, you get to go against the Dolphins, the Jags, the Rams, a couple of question marks, the Cards and the Colts. So I'd be looking towards that win total. AFC East, I really don't see the Buffalo Bills coming back to the party. I think they're only going to get better and, you know, especially off that pretty impressive victory there on Monday night. But for the Jets, for me, I don't know, Donnie. I mean, it's that, you know, time-old tradition, if you will. We look at a sports team and say it's a team of really good players, but it's not a good team. There's just no chemistry, and I just don't think they're going to pick up where they left off over there at Lambeau for the Green Bay Packers, now wearing that Jets uniform. I think they're just missing that. And I mean, what could we really expect? You know, the head coach, he's got the wrist sold. The star quarterback who was meant to come in and take him to a Super Bowl 2 years ago, he's been missing in action for 12 months. It just doesn't look like it's going to be a quick fix. And I really don't think Davante Adams is going to be that glue guy that suddenly brings everything together. We see it in the NBA all the time. We try and make these big threes or these big tandems work, and it's just something that these players don't gel with one another. And I'm not trying to say that about Davante and Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying about this Jets team as a whole. It just seems really out of whack. It's like the shopping trolley with one wheel going one way, the other's trying to go the other way in the parking lot at Trader Joe's. That's what I see from the Jets right now, Donnie.
You're right. Yeah, the real squeaky wheel, which right now is Aaron Rodgers, and the squeaky wheel usually gets the attention, which he is getting because everybody coming over seems like those offensive moves. You know what would even be a bigger impact? We saw Hassan Reddick change agents over to Rosenhaus, and he said, look, we're going to explore trade options here, but we really would like to get a deal done with the Jets. Maybe that would be even more impactful than getting Davante Adams. But the one thing we know as handicappers and just watching with our eyes, it's hard to quit on a team as talented as the New York Jets. Quite frankly, they're 2-4. They probably should be 4-2, but they're not. They might be able to change a lot of ideas this Sunday night. But also, I said the same thing. A lot of things would come down on Aaron Rodgers if they lost to the Buffalo Bills. He played well until that interception, which he blamed on his wide receiver, which is never a good look when you're outing players. When you're not playing well this year, they should be outing you, Aaron Rodgers. Crazy stuff in New York. More wide receiver trades and impactfulness in the AFC East. We'll talk about that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, Dubsy, it's an arms race in the AFC East. And let's set the table here because a lot went down yesterday. The New York Jets obviously lost to the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. The Jets said, no, we're all in. We're going to continue to add because I believe, as Woody Johnson says, this is my most talented roster over the past 25 years. And probably so. But the Jets don't have a penchant for making the playoffs. So maybe getting more and more quality players eventually will get them over the hump. So I sat yesterday and said, oh, man, like for weeks I've been saying, if the Bills can get a true number one wide receiver, boy, oh, boy, would that make all the difference in my thought process on what the Bills can actually do this season. So yesterday, Davante Adams goes to the Jets. I'm like, man, that would have been a perfect move for the Buffalo Bills. They counter. And as Ian Rappaport reported yesterday, the Bills trading for Amari Cooper, they got him in a third round and a pick swap here, which means the Buffalo Bills get Amari Cooper and a sixth round pick in 2025. Cleveland gets a third round pick in 2025 and a seventh in 2026. So now we have that starting wide receiver, the number one that you can go to with the game on the line. Dubsy, let's start here. Your thoughts on the acquisition of Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills?
Absolutely love this move. This is a great addition for Buffalo. You take a look at the offensive weapons that they've been working with, and they've been having to spread it and get it done multiple ways. But Khalil Shakir, he's been that leading receiver, and he's been strong without being fantastic. But if you want that one, I think you've absolutely got it here with Amari Cooper. And I teased it off the top there. I really do think this is Stephon Diggs 2.0. I mean, 30 years of age, he still looks fantastic. Obviously, hasn't had the box score stat stuffing numbers to start this year, but arguably a quarterback who hasn't been playing some really good football. So Amari Cooper, at 30 years of age, getting the chance to partner up with a quarterback like Josh Allen, who's putting together an MVP season, I think that's a massive green light. I love the durability that you get with Cooper. You look at what we have seen. I mean, the last few years, always seems to be playing north of 14 games, putting up monster numbers. So you put him with a great quarterback like Mr. Allen over there. I think Amari Cooper is absolutely going to shine for Buffalo, and it just gives him a further element in terms of what we can expect with that offense there on Sunday. So it gives them a bit more insurance as well. They really don't have to put that pressure on some of these young guys in trying to take that forward step. They can just sort of ease their way into things, and they can now lead on Amari Cooper. And this is a team that's not like the Jets trying to turn their season around. They sit at 4-2 after Monday Night Football. So I think this is a great addition. I love what I've seen from Buffalo thus far. Josh Allen, he looks fantastic, and I'm very big on Amari Cooper to come in and have a big impact day one.
Yeah, we're looking at the two acquisitions in the AFC East at wide receiver. Davante Adams, obviously the bigger name here, the better pedigree, maybe the bigger story with Aaron Rodgers. But if you want to talk about the better fit, absolutely, it's Amari Cooper. Look at what he's done in his career here. Close to 700 receptions. You get close to almost 10,000 yards receiving, 62 touchdowns, and a five-time Pro Bowler. The guy that can get deep, run precise routes. And also, sometimes, Dubsy, you get that change of scenery. You go from a team in Cleveland that's not going to make the playoffs, a quarterback that's struggling as a wide receiver, that's like your worst case scenario. You're just not dialed in. Now you get moved to a team in first place with Super Bowl aspirations, with a quarterback that can get you the football wherever you are on the field. That is absolutely massive. So if we look at the Buffalo Bills, before I get to the season-long outlook, let's just take a look at what they're going to be cooking with on offense. A decent offensive line. They got two solid tight ends. They got Keon Coleman, their young rookie that they drafted in the second round. They got Khalil Shakir, one of the better, when healthy, wide receivers out of the slot position that Josh Allen absolutely loves. You get your true number one in Amari Cooper, and you have a backfield that looks like you have two to three players that can tote the rock to help out Josh Allen. I love the offensive look here, Dubsy, but if we are now looking at the season, could this be the Bills' year? Their team win total now, 11.5 after that victory versus the Jets. The playoff race looks like it's over right now that they're going to make it at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 1250 price. The AFC East title, massive favorites now at a minus 390 price. The AFC title, plus 450, and to win a Super Bowl, now under 10-1 at a plus 850. Dubsy, are we buying on the Buffalo Bills?
Absolutely. Bye, bye, bye. I think the ceiling is so high. It is Super Bowl and everything else. That has to be the goal for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They've looked so strong to start this campaign. This is a great addition. And, you know, coming in for round one, Donnie, we're going, well, without Stephon Diggs, how are they really going to get, you know, down the field, not having that number one guy? But if anything, I really think it's forced Josh Allen to mature in the pocket as a passer. He's seen it better. He's trying to facilitate it across the park there. And he's gotten rid of those interceptions. Yet to come up with an interception, and we're going into week seven. So really efficient football for that number, plus 850 to take out the Super Bowl. I like that. The AFC plus 450. And that win total at 11.5. They're still going to have to rattle off plenty of victories. But you look at the schedule, it's pretty favorable here towards the Bills. You know, the next three, Titans, Seahawks, and the Dolphins. This is a really good football side. It looks like they're all buying in. Not to say that Stephon Diggs was, you know, taking away anything or being too much of a distraction on the sideline, but the numbers really were not paralleling with the profile that we saw for Stephon Diggs at the back end of last year. He really wasn't seeing that production that we're used to seeing. So for Amari Cooper coming in here, who's still playing some really good football, for Amari Cooper, he's coming off a career best season there last year. And who do you have at quarterback? A bit of Joe Flacco, a bit of Deshaun Watson, a bit of DTR. So I think this is going to be a real happy home for Amari Cooper, for Josh Allen. He gets a fantastic new weapon to work with, and having that run game to lean on. Buffalo Bills, they're looking like one of the best teams in the business right now, and I think they're only going to get better and build off that.
Yeah, I'm excited for them. And also, as you take a look at their record, right, it's 4-2. It's not as if they said, hey, man, we blew a game to New England and we lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. That's not the case. You went on the road and lost to the Ravens, one of the best teams in football. You went on the road and lost to the Texans, who are shaping up to be one of the better teams in football. Then you handled your business. Now, granted, some might say a couple missed field goals here or there. You probably should have lost that game, but you didn't. You still won it, and you're moving forward. The Titans over a touchdown favorite at home. This could be a catapult game, because the one thing, as we do look at that schedule, you're going to take on the Seahawks in Seattle, which is never easy. The Dolphins probably with Tua Tagovailoa back by the time you play them. The Colts maybe with Richardson and also Jonathan Taylor back when you play them. The Chiefs, the 49ers, the Rams might be healthy trying to get back into the playoff run. It's never easy in the NFL, but boy, the outlook for the Buffalo Bills for me got so much better with Amari Cooper. Now we go to the hair, get a haircut, Dubsy. We like to get a nice fade. You might just go to your barber and say, give me the Dallas Cowboy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, the Dallas Cowboys brand. It's big around the world. You want to buy the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to pay more for that team than any other sporting team in this world and its history here. It's good to be the owner of the Dallas Cowboys bank account-wise, but being the owner of the Dallas Cowboys winning Super Bowls as of late, meaning the past 25-plus years to 30 years, yeah, it hasn't been all that profitable on that end of it. If we are looking, Dubsy, Jerry Jones, he told us. They were all in on the offseason. This is a season he couldn't wait for. He was so all in, he said, you know what? My quarterback, I don't trust you, so I don't really feel like paying you right now. Wide receiver, you're awesome, CD. Thanks for being drafted. We're all in. I don't really know if I want to pay you. And boy, oh boy, do I love Mike McCarthy. He's my favorite coach I've ever had. I'm not sure I want to pay you either, which turns out to be a 3-3 Dallas Cowboys team after paying Dak Prescott and paying CeeDee Lamb and still having a lame duck coach. They got beat 47-9 on Sunday. And quite frankly, that score didn't even do that justice. So now we say, all right, Jerry Jones, you love the radio. You love the spotlight. Clarence Hill Jr., beat reporter yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys on the radio show for Jerry Jones. It states, Jerry Jones to the morning show host on at 10:53 The Fan. This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I'm not kidding. So if you do want to go on the radio and you are the man in charge and you are the general manager and you've owned the Cowboys for darn near 40 years and now you don't want to answer questions about your all-in season that's going up in flames. Jerry Jones on the radio getting upset, Dubsy. What are we thinking about that?
Can Jerry not just make up an excuse? Like, if he's in a sour mood, and rightfully so, what did he pick up the Dallas Cowboys back in 1989? This was the worst beat down they've ever received at Jerry's World over there in Dallas. So he's going to be in a bit of a bad mood moving through the next week, or at least until the Dallas Cowboys can figure things out. But look, you know, what is going on with Dallas? Aren't these players meant to play better once you get the bag, once you get paid the offseason? Aren't you meant to be that MVP quarterback, Dak Prescott? Aren't you meant to stand up and get the results there if you're the head coach for Big Bad McCarthy? But it's been a really concerning start to the regular season, and it was put on full display there going against the Detroit Lions, 47-9. That was an absolute embarrassment. And these are the kind of losses that get, I guess the media outlets really starting to rise for the occasion. And Jerry's, you know, one to tell you exactly what his role is there at the Dallas Cowboys and the organization. He is the man calling the shots. So when things aren't going so well, you've got to face the music. And for Jerry, I don't know what it's going to take to turn this thing around. I love their chances coming in to this season, Donny. Obviously, the run game was going to be that concern, but they're just not looking like the Dallas Cowboys, which I guess we've seen over the last couple of years, that team with so much promise that just needed to take that slight step forward to be one of the best and contend for a Super Bowl. Suddenly looks like they've taken 2-3 steps back, and I'd be salty if I was Jerry as well. I mean, you got the checkbook out, and now suddenly you're not getting results. They all want to play and talk up when they're looking to get that bag, but suddenly here we are going into week 7 with a .500 record. It's not good enough for a team like the Dallas Cowboys.
No, certainly not. We're used to them being very good, Dubsy, in the regular season. You look at their season as a whole, and I was giving them a lot of credit for going on the road to Pittsburgh in that game that was delayed by weather, having the toughness to be down late in the fourth quarter, Dak Prescott leading a touchdown drive, say, wow, look at that. Dallas, I got to give them a lot of credit for that win, only to roll over against the Lions, who were coming off a bye and absolutely got destroyed. You look at their three games at home, all losses. The Saints crushed them. I don't care about the Ravens' 28-25 score. They got blasted in that football game, a lot of junk touchdowns late, and then you roll over to the Lions 47-9, and oh yeah, you're on your bye week, fantastic. You know who you get, Dubsy, out of that bye? It's the San Francisco 49ers. So if we're looking at the outlook now for the Dallas Cowboys, which had so much promise and they were all in to start the season, their win total dropped from 9.5 now to a live number of 8.5. Their playoff price here, almost a 2-1 to make it, now looking at almost a 2-1 to not make it now. The NFC East, plus 175 to 4-1. The NFC title, 9-1 to 16-1. And the Super Bowl odds, 18-1 to 34-1. Dubsy, is there any chance there's a buy-in point for the Dallas Cowboys? Or do we say, wait a second, they're going to play the Niners, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, and Commanders over the next month and a half? Lights out, Dallas.
It's a tough one, Donnie, and it's not like we're sitting here saying, you know, we know exactly what's wrong with the Cowboys. I'm still trying to make heads and tails of what is that missing spark. Is it really the run game? I look at that win total, I don't see how they get there, Donnie. So if you're looking to jump in, maybe now's the time to buy in and take south of that number. For the Dallas Cowboys, has not been good enough.
It has not been good enough. Hour number one, it was certainly good enough. Hour number two, even better. More hot topics on the way right here on The Early Line.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.